This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله جل وعلا وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أجارني الله وإياكم من النار As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in the final moments of this worldly life, when his soul is departing this worldly life, in the final moments, in the final seconds, each and every single one of us would come to the realization that nothing is of value and nothing is of worth to him. Your wealth will be of no benefit and no value and no worth to you. If you don't learn this lesson right now, you will most definitely learn it just before your soul departs this worldly life. You will learn that your children will be of no benefit and of no value to you. You will learn that your cars and your homes and your businesses and your business partners, all of it will have no value and all of it will have no worth. What is your wealth going to do at that moment? What is your family and your loved ones and your friends going to do for you at this moment? What? The maximum they can do is hold your hand and pat your head. These are the moments in where you'll realize that the only thing that carried true value and worth was your righteous deeds and your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters in Islam, death is a reality. And it is a matter in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised this ummah 1,400 years ago, saying, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَادِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. He said, remember death much. Remember the destroyer of pleasures much. Because the more you realize and you remember death, and you wash your dead, and you bury them, and you pray upon them, the more it softens the heart, and the more it brings the heart to its reality to understand that the worldly life is a fake enjoyment. That's what it is. You spend huge amounts of money to eat something beautiful, and a few hours later, it goes away. What a fake enjoyment. You drink the best of drinks. You enjoyed it, but it was a fake enjoyment because a few hours later, it's gone. And so, is the worldly life. You save and you save and you save, and you go and you purchase your favorite sportwear, your favorite sport shoes, your favorite and most beloved brand to wear as a shirt, and then a few months later it wears and it tears and you throw it away. You won't even donate it, you throw it away. What a waste. a fake enjoyment. You are among your friends, you sit, you have a laugh, you joke, all of a sudden you receive a call. Our friend has died. Subhanallah. Yesterday we were joking with him. Yesterday we were talking and enjoying our time. And he has died. We will never ever see him ever again until we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. A fake enjoyment. This is how life is, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And so when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to remember death often, because it softens the heart and it enables a person to return to Allah Azza wa Jal and hasten in his tawbah and hasten to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rush to doing good deeds. Because learn the lesson now, that is the only thing that will be of worth and benefit to you. My brothers and sisters in Islam, when a person dies, the soul comes out of his body in 5 stages. The first stage in which the soul comes out of the body and it departs this worldly life is known as the day of death. That's the first stage. The knowledge of your soul coming out of your body is given to the angels. And so they prepare for the mission to extract your soul. They leave the paradise and where they are, and they carry shrouds that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them from the paradise or from the hellfire, depends on the state of the person. And they come down, and you are totally oblivious to what is going to happen in a few moments. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the Quran about this stage, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, fee the day in which you will return to Allah. Then that is the first stage. There is the day in which you will return to Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't know this day. And it is Allah's wisdom that he covered this day away from you, so that he can test your true commitment upon his worship. If you are given the day, you would play and enjoy your life until the very moment. Then you'll make a tawbah in the last minute and all is good. So Allah Azza wa Jal did not give you the day, so that you can be serious in your relationship with Allah in every moment you live of the day and of the night. That's the first stage. The day is handed down to the angels and they come down and they prepare to extract this soul. The second stage is the angels are now around your body and they are extracting the soul from your body. Malak al-Maut's job is to extract it when the soul is in its last stage. But Malak al-Maut doesn't work alone. He has an army of angels with him. Allah Azza wa Jal refers to them in the Quran. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُ رُسُولُنَا يَتَوَفَّوْنَهُمْ. Our messengers, the angels will come and extract the soul. His helpers and supporters would come. And so the second stage is that the soul is extracted from the body and it begins from the feet. And this is when the foot goes numb and cold. And then the shin follows and it becomes numb and cold as the soul is coming out. And then the thighs of a person become cold and numb. And the soul continues to travel upwards until it reaches a person's abdomen. And it continues to come until it reaches his chest. These are the angels doing the work. They are extracting this soul from this person that is going to die this moment. The third stage is that the soul would reach at-taraqi, the collarbone. Allah Azza wa Jal referred to this stage in the Quran. And he said, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. Allah Azza wa Jal, he speaks about the soul when it reaches at-taraqi, when it reaches the collarbone. Allah Azza wa Jal, then he says, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاق. This is the stage and the moment in which the family that is around the dead begin to cry and scream out for help. مَنْ رَاق. Where is the raqi? Where is the doctor? Where is the nurse? Where is a person who can aid this dying person? Where is the support? Where's the medicine? Hurry up! We're losing time. Man raq. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. And it is in this third stage that the one who is laying there would be most certain that this is the departing moment. He knows it in the third stage. وَظَنَّ meaning أَيْقَنَ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. He knows. He can see the angels before him. He knows that he is going. He can see the relatives and the family around panicking and struggling to get some help for him. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is at this moment where regret kicks in. It is at this moment when Allah Azza wa Jal says at the end of Surah Al-Munafiqoon, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. O you who believe, give from that which we have given you. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Before death presents to any one of you. فَيَقُولُ. At the third stage, the person would say, رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. My Lord, give me some time. Give me some respite. Extend my life for a few moments so that I can give fi sabilillah wa akum min as-salihin, so that I may become from the righteous. He does not say, Lord, give me some time because I wanted to go and visit someone. Lord, give me some time because I had to finish building my house. Lord, give me some time because there was a car I wanted to purchase. Give me some time. My son was about to get married and I want to witness his walima. He doesn't say that. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I want to be from among the righteous. It is at that moment, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Until when death presents and approaches one of them. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. He would say, My Lord, return. Return me. Return me back. Why? لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت, so that I may do some righteous deeds in what you give me of time. Allah, realize and learn this lesson. This is the only thing of value and importance. If you're struggling to learn this lesson now, wallahi, I guarantee you, you will learn it before you leave this worldly life at the third stage of death. So, وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. He is most certain at this third stage when the soul is at the collarbone that he is going and departing. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ. And a person's shin, his leg, is rolled and folded over the other shin. What does that mean? Now, when a person dies, no one gets his right leg and folds it over his left leg. But this is what the ayah is saying. Rather, what this means is if you stood up now and you crossed your leg, you put your right leg in front of, or you crossed it to your left, would you be able to move forward? You can't walk. If you put your left and you crossed it over your right leg, you will not be able to move forward. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ means you can no longer move forward in your relationship with Allah. This is the moment in which saying Subhanallah is of no benefit. This is the moment if which you never wore the hijab, it's too late, you cannot wear it anymore. This is the moment in which if you never prayed, or too late, you cannot pray anymore. This is the moment in which you wanted to say Astaghfirullah, my Lord, I repent. It is not accepted. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the repentance is accepted so long as the sun does not rise from the west and the soul does not reach the throat. Khalas, done. This is why death is considered a calamity. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The calamity of death strikes you. Why is calamity a why is death a calamity? Why? I mean, I do understand that it's a calamity for those that are still alive, your family and your friends, because they're going to mourn your loss. they're going to go in an emotional breakdown. It's a calamity upon them. But why is death a calamity for the dead person? Well, he left the life. He went. Why is it a calamity for him? This is the biggest calamity. Because the dead person can no longer use his tongue to say Subhanallah. This is a calamity. He can no longer use his legs to walk to Al-Masjid. He can no longer use his eyes to read the Quran. He can no longer use his ears to hear the adhan and respond after the muadhin. He cannot do anything of the righteous deeds. Thus, death is a calamity for the dead person. This is the third stage. The fourth stage is when the soul travels a little bit more up and it reaches the throat. This is where there is panic and extreme suffering. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ Allah Azza wa Jalla, He speaks about the stage in which the soul now has reached the throat. So it's gone a little bit more up. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the family that is standing around the dead person. He now describes them saying, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ You're only looking at him. خلاص. Everyone is it's a hopeless state now. You cannot do anything for him. The only thing you can do is look and be there for the moment. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ And we are closer to him, meaning our angels are closer to him than you, but you cannot see them. They're inside, they are extracting the soul, but you cannot see them. The dead person can see them, you can't see them. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, if indeed you are true about your claim that you will not be resurrected and you will not face Allah Azza wa Jal, if you're certain about this, if you believe that you will never see Allah and you'll never be resurrected, then return his soul back into his body. Push it back in. Push it back in. تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If indeed you are speaking the truth. But then obviously, not a single human being on earth could push the soul back into the dying person. Not even the billionaire on earth. With all his wealth and all the knowledge on earth, not a single human being has been successful at this stage of death to be of benefit for the dying person and push his soul back in and give him life. What does this mean? It means if you couldn't control that, how dare you say that there is no resurrection? You couldn't even control a soul. You couldn't even bring your loved one back to life. You're going to now dictate that there is resurrection or not. A simple task no one could do. Then that means humble yourself and believe in the promise of Allah. And that uqsimu billah, we will all be standing before Allah Azza wa Jalla one day. There is a janazah behind this wall. And it will make its way here after the prayer. And we will pray on it. By Allah, this brother that has died, his final moments in life is that he saw something in this worldly life with his eye. And then his eyes closed. And by Allah, the next time he opens his eye would be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Now it's closed. It won't blink, it won't open. But when Allah Azza wa Jal brings life back into it, the next time he opens the eye, it will be standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. That's how quick the transition was. That's the fourth stage. It reaches the throat. The final stage is Malak al-Maut's job. And that is now extracting the soul, either from a person's mouth or eyes, or head, the scholars have differed. Doesn't matter. You will find out soon. where it's coming out from. Perhaps the eyes. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended that when you are present and around the dead person, his eyes would roll and they would look up. Perhaps his eyes followed his soul. So wipe his eyes so that you can close his eyes. That is a sunnah to do when you're there while a person has died. But this is the job of Malak al-Maut. He will pluck the soul out in its final stage. And he does it in two ways. And this stage is mentioned in Surah An-Nazi'at. Allah Azza wa Jal begins the surah by saying, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, he takes an oath by An-Nazi'at, the angels who rip out the soul. An-Naz'a is to rip out. And that's what he does to the disbeliever and the rebellious. That's what he does to them. Rips it out. Because when the disbeliever sees the punishment of Allah, his soul disperses back in. It wants to run away. So it is ripped out. As for the believing soul, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is like water being poured out of a bottle. That's how the believer's soul comes out. Smooth. Effortless. Why? Because when the believer sees the mercy of Allah, sees the pleasure of Allah, he doesn't want to stay in this prison that he's in. He doesn't want to stay in this fake, dirty, filthy world that he's in. So he's happy to come out. So it comes out very quickly. But there is something important at this stage. Malak al-Maut, he says a few words to this soul and to that soul. He says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْخَبِيثَةِ كَانَتْ فِي الْجَسَدِ الْخَبِيثِ أُخْرُجِي إِلَىٰ صَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَغَضَبٍ. He will say, O dirty, filthy soul that was in the dirty, filthy body, come out to a displeasure of your Lord and an anger of your Lord. Allahu Akbar. And for the believing soul, he will say, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الطَّيِّبَةِ كانت في الجسد الطيب اخرجي الى مغفره من الله ورضوان. Oh pure, beautiful soul that lived in a pure, beautiful body, come out to a pleasure and a forgiveness and a mercy of your Lord. What I wanted to tell you is that what Malak al-Maut says at that moment is a summary of your life. Your life is summarized with two words: either filthy, dirty soul, or pure, good, clean soul. If you hear at that moment pure soul, congratulations. Congratulations. Your ending would be the paradise. But Allahu A'lam, you might be punished before that in the grave, we don't know. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to spare us punishment. But most definitely, this person is going to the paradise. And if a person hears, oh filthy, dirty soul, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us and to save us. There's no good news for that. That's going one way to the punishment of Allah, and we'll never see His mercy ever again. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, as I conclude, that's what you need to work on. You need to work on nafsan tayyibah, a pure soul. You have from now until you die to purify this soul. You purify it with righteous deeds, with tawbah, with remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, with turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us success. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. My brothers and sisters in Islam, a very short and a quick reminder. We are now in the month of Sha'ban. This is a month in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said many people are heedless about. Imagine him saying that when he lived among companions. He said this is a month in which people are completely heedless about. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, he said, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Don't you dare be from among the heedless. This is not a characteristic of a believer. Someone who wants the paradise and Allah's pleasure, You shouldn't be heedless. You should be far away from heedlessness. This is a month in which people are heedless. This month, people are preparing for Ramadan. Ya akhi, wait. Ramadan hasn't reached. We're in Sha'ban. Focus on this month. This is a month in which people are preparing for Eid, and they're preparing their long list on invites, and who's going to have futur at my place and his place. And this is not the time for it. And so, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to save himself from heedlessness, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said he used to fast the entire month of Sha'ban. You knew that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast all of Ramadan. And the next second month that he used to completely fast was Sha'ban, the month we're in now. We're only 3-4 days into it. So he can avoid heedlessness. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, why are you fasting this month? He said, number one, because people are heedless about it. I don't want to be heedless, so I fast. He said that this is the month in which deeds are raised to Allah Azza wa Jal. Every single thing you did of good and bad from last Sha'ban until this year is all going up to Allah Azza wa Jal in these days and nights, Allahu A'lam which. So he used to fast because when you fast and your deeds go up to Allah, there's a better chance of it being accepted and your sins being forgiven and wiped away. 360 so days are going up to Allah Azza wa Jal now, Allahu A'lam when. In these days, how many of them did you pray on time? In these days, how many of them did you read Quran? In these days, how many of them did you fast? Everyone knows himself. If I gave you your own record, would you be happy with it or not? This is how you'll judge yourself. Would you? Most people will say, I don't want to see my record. There's a lot of filth and evil in it. However, Allah Azza wa Jal is more merciful upon us than we are upon ourselves. And we hope for Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy and acceptance and forgiveness. Don't neglect this month. Fast as many days as you can. If not the entire month, then at least Monday and Thursday in preparation for Ramadan and for this month. If you cannot, then at least Monday, one day of the week. If not, just something. Just do not be heedless. And this is a preparation for Ramadan. What you do in Ramadan, which is reading the Quran and fasting and the night prayers, are the very same things al-ulama rahimahumullah would recommend to be done in the month before. And it makes sense because it's a preparation for the obligation. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us success. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us always aware of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and never to have a moment of heedlessness in our life. Ibadallah, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وصدوا الخلل اعتدلوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر.